Ron Stutz in the morning. Progressive Talk all day.
It's the most important date on the WCHL broadcast calendar. The Chapel Hill Carborough Orange County Forum on 97.9 FM WCHL. Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. And streaming live on chapelboro.com. 10 straight hours of community discussion from our WCHL studios, featuring more than 60 local voices on a variety of local topics. The annual WCHL Forum is presented by Harrington Bank, Durham Tech, University Mall, Molly Maid, The Happy Tooth, UPS Stores, Fortin Boulevard and Metamont, AutoLogic, and the Carolina Inn. Now it's Forum Hour 9. The topic is The Bottom Line, Part 1. Here's our moderator, Aaron Keck.
Welcome to Hour 9 of the 2013 WCHL Community Forum. As you just heard from Ron, it is the biggest day on the calendar for WCHL all year, every year. The forum offers 10 topics in 10 hours with commentary and discussion among town and university officials and other representatives from our community, all focused on the important issues affecting Chapel Hill, Carborough, Hillsborough, Orange County, and the greater area. This is a new addition to the Community Forum. We've got 2 hours left. Both of them are going to deal with the same topic, the bottom line. We're trying something new this year. In the first hour of this panel, we've got 5 members of the community that we're welcoming to talk about budget issues, priorities, taxes, spending, and what they'd like to see from the county and from the towns as we move into budget season this spring and into the summer. For the second hour, we've got a number of town officials and elected officials who are already waiting in the wings. They'll be listening to the panel this hour, and in the second hour, we'll welcome them into the room to follow up on what we hear this hour from the community members. Good to be with you. This is Aaron Keck, and we are welcoming 5 community members today representing a wide variety of a wide range of individuals in Chapel Hill, Carborough. 5 of them here with us today. So we'll go around the table and introduce them. First of all, Lee Hevlin, community member. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Greg Bell, also community member. We've all have titles, but for this particular panel, we're just community members. So Greg Bell, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Aaron.
Bonnie Hauser, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Jeff Danner, a voice familiar to many WCHL listeners of the Common Science blog. Thanks for joining us in this capacity.
Thanks, Aaron. Good to be here.
And finally, Amanda Shirley. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Aaron.
Okay, so we will begin. I always like to begin by throwing out the most generic opening salvo question. This is budget season already, and we're going to be discussing that both in Chapel Hill and Carborough and in Orange County, not to mention UNC and across the state in the next couple of months. We're focusing here on Chapel Hill, Carborough, Hillsborough, and Orange County budget cycles. A lot to discuss. There are a lot of services on the table. Taxes are certainly on the table this year. We're theoretically on the way up in terms of the overall economy. We're in a recovery, technically speaking, at least on paper. But budget issues are going to be very, very serious this year. Budgets are still tight. There are there is a great deal of scarcity in terms of resources and a lot of services that community members want to see, even in times of scarcity. With taxes on the table, with spending on the table, I want to begin by opening up. I want to open up by throwing out this question. What we'll hear from the town and county managers next hour in particular is that local officials are turning to this concept of priority budgeting, which is a new thing that is being tried. It's been sort of making its way into the discourse in local governments, really nationwide, and particularly here, talking about budgeting in terms of prioritizing services. Which services do we want most? Which services could we most afford to scrap altogether, or which services get the first cut? And thinking about all of the things that Chapel Hill, Carborough, Hillsborough, Orange County, town and county governments provide, what are your top priorities for spending? We'll talk about taxes and priorities there later on this hour, but just in terms of priorities in terms of spending, what services the towns and the county spend their money on, what is your priority as an individual, and what is your, I guess, bottom priority?
Oh, I'll jump in.
Greg Bell.
Everything.
I think.
See, that's the problem.
I know it's a problem, but we as a people, for
we see one person saying everything. Bonnie Hauser already
have made it very clear that there is a quality of a level of service that we want to maintain, be it libraries or recycling pickup or affordable housing. And it's going to be. It is very sad, and will be even more sad if we're. Have to watch the gradual dismantling of those services. Mm-hmm. These services provide economic vitality to this area. It's an economic development tool. Mm-hmm. And they provide benefit well beyond whatever immediate services is brought about by a pre-K literacy program or by maintaining our recycling and trash-free standards. I'll shut up and let somebody else talk. But I just very, very strongly feel that all of these things have been developed for a reason, and that even though the General Assembly is likely to gut, or actually is going to force a lot of unfounded mandates on us, we need to do our best to hold on and try to get through this.
I should mention Lee Hevlin's next. I should mention that before this panel began, I went to Orange County's website and just printed off a list of all of the, without even getting into the numbers, just the list of services that are available. And I kind of agree with you. I can't see anything that's obvious that can go. But Lee Hevlin, I don't know if.
Well, I agree with what Greg's saying, but I also in a business world and in our world. Mm-hmm. You go through a cycle where you have a lot of wealth coming in, you can make things happen, you can do things well, but at some point in time, you may not be able to continue what you did. The move that they're thinking about here by taking what we do and looking at it and saying, maybe these things, I don't think they should scrap anything, but I do think everyone should have to pay their way as far as processes and stuff. And when I say pay, I don't mean money. I'm talking about if you have a program, it should be providing a need that's serving the community so we can grow, because you don't want to lose people. And that's one of the things I think, I don't want to see us a bedroom community, I want to see us be able to grow.
Jeff Denner, you had
Yeah, so just reacting a little bit to what Lee and Greg had to say. Now, some have been here longer than I, Greg in particular, I know. But in the 12 budget cycles I've lived through here, it seems to me irrespective of the times, there's this mantra that's always, there's never a time where there's growth. We're always chipping away at town services. We're always chipping away at school services. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are times when conditions are, you might need to cut back or reduce, but what I don't see is the other end of the cycle. As I watch what happens with our school systems each year, and we spend more money as the town grows, but if I look at the services provided per student, they're chipped away year after year. Mm-hmm. And I think, I came here in 2000. How do we develop this amazing school system and some of the other great town and county services we have? There must have been times before I got here where there was growth, and I'd like to see them again. And I'm trying to learn myself more about the priority budgeting that you've mentioned. And my sense is, I'd like to learn, and I'll be listening to the next hour, is that there's an inherent assumption in that we're always chipping away. I think, every once in a while you need to start something new.
Seems to be a discussion this year that more facilities are being built for schools, but other services for education.
Yeah. Just one follow-up comment on that. As we look at school facilities, and one of the things, if the county people are listening and reacting, I'd like to understand perhaps from the town managers or the county, where are the lottery funds? I've been here before and after, and specifically, if I recall correctly, and I hear from the laughter on the table, I think I'm correct. Those were intended for school construction, and quite frankly, I don't see any difference.
Bonnie Hauser.
I think I don't know how to choose between public safety, schools, or libraries. Certainly we want them all. Mm-hmm. But I don't understand why our services have to be so much more expensive than everybody else's. Mm-hmm. Right, and I feel that every time we do something, we're not building a Cadillac, we're going for the Bentleys and the Bugattis. And that's a concern. So our recycling program, for example, costs double. This is just the curbside recycling, costs double what curbside recycling costs in any other county. That's not the base fee, but we're paying a lot of money for basic services. On libraries, do we really need three libraries? I realize it's a hot issue. But, you know, should we at least try the new Chapel Hill Library? And maybe instead of spending money on another library, maybe we could put a lot of frequent bus service from Carrboro to the Chapel Hill Library and get much more for the same money. But it seems that we are not getting nearly as much money as other communities are for basic core services.
I don't know if you know this, but do we find that services that we're getting our money's worth for paying more for services? Greg Bell says,
well, I'm thinking about transit. Our average cost, I heard this morning on WCHL, mm-hmm. our average cost per ride is $2.65. The national average is $4.50. As far as waste goes, every ton of waste that is landfilled creates one job somewhere. Every ton that is recycled creates eight jobs somewhere. So this is not just money that we're pouring down the drain. This is money that is going to people's pockets, it's going to programs, and it's going to vitality within our community. The library has the highest four times the circulation of anyone else in the state, 1.2 items circulated last year, and that's just the Chapel Hill branch. And if we're going to start busing people in, I don't know. To me, it just seems like there are lots of equity issues as far as access to that information. And at the same time, we're having budget shortfalls in our Chapel Hill transit system. And as of this day, the bus doesn't even service the library. So that's really not a viable option mm-hmm. to bus people in from SLI to Chapel Hill, town of Chapel Hill Public Library, which I might mention gets about 40% of its usage is from non-Chapel Hill residents but the county and other non-Chapel Hill revenue sources are only a small portion of that 40%. So the town of Chapel Hill is actually, the library is carrying the rest of the county.
Amanda Shirley.
Yeah, well, I think Bonnie makes a good point, and I think Jeff alluded to it a little bit when he was talking about, you know, where the education funds going and where are they coming from. I don't know that we're necessarily, like, consolidating our funds in useful ways. And so I think there are some ways that when we're looking at the prioritizing of different services that we can arrange the money differently. So it's mm-hmm. not necessarily that we need to keep chipping away at things, because I do think that's right. I think every year, I've been in North Carolina for almost 6 years, and every year it just feels like it's like we need to take more money away from this and more money away from that, and it's never about how can we more efficiently do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, if we could look at what we're doing with it, maybe we don't need three libraries, maybe we can do two libraries, you know, that kind of thing. But.
Lee Heblin.
I took a trip in the other part of town this last week, and 4 o'clock, I came down 54 heading towards the university.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how many of you do that on a regular basis, but before I retired, I used to do it later. I was amazed that it was full traffic. I mean, bumper to bumper, all two lanes going down to where it became three lanes.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't worried about the traffic as much as I looking at the dollars that leave Orange County. I was up in Walmart in Burlington, and I was shopping for something, couldn't find it.
Mm-hmm.
And I told my wife, well, they've changed the locations, plus this is not the one near our home. I said, well, the new one comes in Chatham County. And a lady near us heard me say this. And what she said? Wow, where's it going to be? And I told her. She says, well, that's great, because I'll start shopping there. Now, she lives in Burlington. And she works at the university hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, that's easier on me shopping. We've got to find ways that we have better central shopping convenience okay. of the people who are driving into our town to work, and get them to spend their money while they're here, because they come in and buy a sandwich and go out. There's your tax dollars. And that's what we're used to have. When I came here 20 years ago, there was a lot more you could get to spend your money on okay. in our town.
Amanda.
Well, yeah, I agree. I also think that you brought up the traffic, and I think that one of the things that's difficult for me is I drive down 86, and I find that you can't get from place to place. You know, we could stay in the county more, and we could stay in towns more if the sidewalks took us there, and we had options. You know, right now I feel like it's the really brave people who get on bicycles and go between places.
Yeah.
I can't do that, especially with children. That's not going to happen.
No.
And I feel like we need, you know, maybe some more money put into roads and sidewalks that make it easier for people to actually go on foot and by bike and mm-hmm. so on. And I think that to stay, you know, so we're not driving out of the county all the time.
And that's something that that I want to get back to in the second segment of the show. Greg made the point about sort of an implicit point about spending as an investment, something that has a return. And that's what I want to start with when we come back. We have to take a break right now. Bonnie Hauser has her hands up, so she'll have the floor when we come back. You're listening to Hour 9 of the 2013 WCHL Chapel Hill Carrboro Community Forum. In this hour, we're discussing the bottom line, part one of a two-part panel. We're going to take a commercial break, and we'll be right back. We've got a whole lot more to talk about this hour and next. This is Darren Keck. Don't go away. We'll be right back with the Community Forum.
You wouldn't start a new addition to your home without the right tools. And if you're growing your small business, the right tools are essential to success. At the UPS Store, we have a small business growth toolkit that includes posters, flyers, brochures, a large retractable banner, and more. What's in your small business toolkit? Ask about our small business growth toolkit today at the UPS stores, your go-to source for your to-do list.
The UPS stores at Meadowmont, Chapel Hill North, and on Fordham Boulevard, next to the Chapel Hill University Inn.
Hi, this is Larry Lozer with Harrington Bank. We're proud to be your hometown bank and an annual sponsor of WCHL's Community Forum. Harrington Bank offers an array of checking accounts, savings accounts, and loan products designed specifically to meet the needs of this community. If you want a bank where everyone knows your name, stop by one of our three branch locations today to learn more, or visit us online at harringtonbank.com. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
The Orange County campus of Durham Tech is booming with 70% more course offerings. This is Penny Gluck, Executive Dean of Durham Tech's Orange County campus, here to invite you to find out why your neighbors and their kids are being educated by us in careers for the 21st century. We specialize in healthcare careers, including emergency medical management, computers, the arts, and much more. To see the full catalog, go to durhamtech.edu. I look forward to seeing you on campus here in Orange County.
Hi, this is Don Rice, owner of Molly Maid of Chapel Hill. The thought-provoking conversations taking place today on WCHL represent what this community is all about. The panelists are committed to making our community great, just like we are at Molly Maid. For 16 years, our family has been serving yours. My wife, Kathy, and I are proud to employ almost 50 people, doing our small part to keep our community vibrant and, of course, clean. As we support the WCHL Community Forum, we hope you'll support our locally owned business by visiting us at mollymaid.com.
Local people, local issues. It's WCHL's Chapel Hill Carrboro Orange County Forum. 10 solid hours on 97.9 FM WCHL and streaming live on chapelboro.com. Now, back to the forum.
Welcome back to Hour 9 of the 2013 WCHL Chapel Hill Carrboro Community Forum. Aaron Keck here moderating the ninth hour of this 10-hour forum. We do it every year, and we're here this hour with several important people from our community, Amanda Shirley, Jeff Danner, Bonnie Hauser, Greg Bell, and Lee Hevlin, to discuss the bottom line, spending, taxes, priorities, and everything else as Chapel Hill, Carrboro, Hillsborough, and Orange County begin budget talks with budget season on the way this spring. We left off with Bonnie Hauser having the floor, and I have to say before you begin that we've had a lot of great panels all day long. This is, I think, of all of the panels, the one with the most spirited conversation during the commercial break. So continue that with the microphones on now. But Bonnie, you've got the floor.
Okay. I just, you know, there's a tendency to want to focus the citizenry on services, and that way we won't pay attention to the man behind the curtain. And that man behind the curtain is spending a lot of money on buildings and infrastructure. And I realize it happened before the economy turned down, but the town's $52 million town operations center is a great example of, this is the public works building where we park our garbage trucks and our buses, and it has sustainability trails and public art, and it's really, and you know, it's right next door to the county's new $9 million animal shelter, and that's just down the road from the county's other $4 million solid waste offices. And it seems that not only might we spend a little bit less money, because these buildings and facilities don't, everyone should have good, a decent and a fine place to work, but do we really need this kind of expensive infrastructure, and does that really make a difference to our services or the quality of life for our employees?
Do we see spending coming down the road on that we could save money on?
Oh, Well, yeah, the convenience centers. The county's about to spend $1.5 million on each convenience center. We're going to have the most expensive dumps in North Carolina.
Lee Heblin.
Well, I'm chiming in what you're saying. I feel the same way that when you have a lot of old buildings in Chapel Hill that the Chapel Hill town owns, and they've got to replace them or spend a ton of money retrofitting them. They've got to do something different. But when they do that something different, can't do it by design by committee. They've got to get down to basics, and not to make it a junker, but make it more realistic to the times. And also to stay tuned to where the demographics of our town is. Where do people live, the ones who need to get around? If we're losing business and shopping stuff out of the area, we have a lot of areas that people say, you put something there, oh, no, let's not do that. But you really have to start and stop and say, what's best for Chapel Hill? Because sometime we won't be able to pay the bills because we don't have the tax base coming in. It'll shift again.
Right now, the overarching topic is how towns and county municipal governments can save money on the bottom line. Jeff Danner?
Well, I was just following up on a couple of the items earlier. You know, again, I agree with some of the, you need to spend the money wisely, but following up on something that Greg and Amanda touched on before, some spending also is investment. And I think, you know, when I came here 12 years ago, I thought, my impression of the town is I was expecting a much more bikeable, walkable area. Mm-hmm. And not only can that help in revenue, but one of the things that we need to do, and there was some mention of it earlier in the forum, is, you know, bring people in here to invest. And I think what one statistic, as a bicyclist myself, I'm familiar with, is if you look at people who have money to spend, people who take bicycle vacations and go places with their bicycles are at the top percentile of people with disposable income in areas that beautiful areas like this one with rolling hills and interesting places that attract those sort of people. That's a great tourist dollar. And really, I'd say one of my primary disappointments in the area is the lack of progress we've made in that area the time I've been here.
And I mean, Carrboro is a, what is it, silver bikeability town. Chapel Hill has been recognized as a bikeable town. It's those tiny little bike tracks.
Yeah, and I think that's a great idea. I think that's more encouragement than recognition from my point of view.
Okay. Greg Bell.
Did not have my hand raised.
Oh, okay.
I'm happy to make something up.
Amanda.
Well, I think he's right in saying that it's more encouragement than anything else, because I do feel like you have pockets of bikeability and walkability, but they're not connected and it's not sustainable for everybody. And, you know, you can walk downtown in Hillsborough, but I can't get to Hillsborough from where I live, even though I'm only a mile out of town. Mm-hmm. And it would be possible for me to do so if the roads were that way. And I think, you know, maybe instead of spending $52 million or $54 million on a building, which is already done and I'm sure is beautiful, and we need that. We need art. Do we want to, you know, bring in more businesses like Walmart and have more Walmarts, or do we want more attractive things that, you know, everybody wants to look at and exist in? But also I think that, you know, that money can go to something that's more permanent. And I think that roads and sidewalks and healthy lifestyle choices are more permanent.
So I want to move the subject eventually to generating additional revenue, because that's already been mentioned by a few people just in the last couple of minutes. But before I do, just sort of a follow-up question to what's just been discussed about bike paths and things like that as an example of spending that is an investment in the future that could generate revenue in the long term. What would be an example on the flip side of something that is in the budget that isn't really an investment, that doesn't really generate revenue? Jeff Danner.
I have a small one, but if you give me 30 seconds for a pet peeve, I'd suggest that the town stop picking up leaves and grass clippings from yards. I see that every fall when the leaves fall, and I would just suggest to anyone, if your yard is large enough that you can rake things in a pile, it's large enough that you can rake them under a tree and let them compost. And I'm sure there are other small services. Not a big savings, but little things like that could add up.
Nods from Amanda and Lee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I do with mine. I've got a huge pile. In fact, when I cut down some trees, I had to put a truckload, and I came home, and it was about 4 or 5 feet high. It's gone now because it kind of builds in. And when I had some trees cut down, the same thing. I use my own. I don't have to go over and buy it again that I just got rid of. You know, I use my own stuff.
Mm-hmm. Other thoughts, other ideas? Bonnie.
I'm on a slightly different wavelength.
Yeah,
what
yeah.
I'm thinking about is shared services and the, you know, can we continue with every man for himself? And For example, a great example that's come up now is emergency services. So the county needs about a dozen or so new ambulance substations, and they can build separate ones for nearly $1 million each, or they can co-locate them with the fire stations and save a lot of money and have our emergency services people work together. But it takes cooperation between the towns and the county to start coming to those decisions. And well, you know, the every building that we build comes off our tax rolls. And that's another, you know, so we have to really start looking at how to be smarter and how to be more cooperative.
Lee.
I like Bonnie's idea, I think, because when there's something amiss, the first ones that show up is the fire truck. Mm-hmm. I mean, why not have it at the same station? And why have two separate facilities? Because, you know, there's the root cost of operating that. And yeah, so that's different, yeah.
Amanda.
Yeah, I agree. I think more cooperation overall is important. I also think when we're talking about reusing things, you know, I feel like we have a lot of empty buildings that don't get repurposed. And I think that's another way we could save money. You know, do we have to build a new building every single time we do something? Or can we, you know, cut dollars and, you know, reuse things more appropriately by refurbishing?
What about cooperation between the towns, sort of sharing services? I know we had a really interesting reaction when we did our April Fool's story earlier this month about the two towns merging. We had a number of people who said, oh, thank God that's an April Fool's story. We had another number of people who said, why don't they do that? So, I think Bonnie was one of them. But speaking of sharing services, sort of like county services sharing facilities, what about Chapel Hill cooperating with Carborough, the two towns cooperating with the county? Is there an area where that could happen?
Public Works is a great, I mean, Carborough has land on Old 86 for a public works facility.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't they move there? Even if they don't merge the departments, can't their people move in to the Chapel Hill Public Works Department, maybe pay some rent, help. It's a win-win. You know, they'd save some money. They could take some land off the tax rolls, and Chapel Hill might get a little rent money from them, and people would work together.
So segueing from that into revenue generation, we've already mentioned taxes are still on the table as something to discuss down the road later on this hour. But what's already been talked about is other revenue generation, getting more, not increasing taxes, but getting more sources of tax revenue in, building a Walmart, for instance, on the other side of the Chatham County line. Lee?
It doesn't have to be a Walmart. You know,
yeah, I mean, yeah.
There's other big companies out there who'd love to be in Chapel Hill. I heard rumors a couple years ago on Airport Road or Martin Luther King Boulevard, right by the cutoff along the highway. They're talking about putting a shopping center in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it may not be the best location, but it's in our town.
Mm-hmm.
And any revenue generated from there, and you also have the help of Harris Teeter, and you have the Timberline area. You have a center of influence growing, and you can keep it sustainable. Don't let people start going away to find something that you can't find in the town.
Jeff.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about revenue generation. I know this is beyond the control, the immediate control, perhaps, of our elected officials, but I want to discuss, I think, one of the key underlying issues is, and something that was kind of interesting for me to learn moving here from I came down from Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. But underlying the limitations in our revenue generation is the fact that we have this flat, regressive property tax system as primarily how we raise revenue. And so if you're looking at an increase in the ad valorem or the special district tax, I mean, the concern, and it's correct, is that will hurt people with fixed income the most. Now, when the area I lived in before, they funded local services through an income tax, which is inherently more progressive. And I think, you know, long term, and some of the things that I think Greg mentioned earlier, if we think about, you know, maintaining the things we are, if this environment is such that this is one of the underlying root causes of chipping away over time, I mean, we can't address it in this budget cycle. But I intend to live here for a long time, and I want things to stop being chipped away at. I think it's something we need to try to work on.
Greg, follow up.
Well, I want to just preface my involvement in this part of the conversation by saying that both myself and my wife work for nonprofits, and so any increase in the tax rate is a very serious matter to us, and something's got to come off on the other side. That said, I value the things that our taxes provide. As far as additional revenues, I think there's some good things on the horizon. The town of Chapel Hill is working on the Ephesus Fordham small area plan. There's the Estes, Martin Luther King intersection project further down the road and identified in the 2020 plan was Rosemary Street redevelopment. All of those will bring additional tax revenues into the county, into Chapel Hill. But I think there are other models that perhaps there are other versions of. For example, the food processing facility that the county built is actually bringing in money, but it's also creating entrepreneurship, which is it's an arithmetical progression of the tax rates that it, taxes that it raises. So I think that there are we should be looking at more ways that the government contract can partner with private enterprises rather than just cutting government services. We should look at ways that River Farmers Market, for example, can get a grant to hire staff or to publicize itself to bring people into the town of Hillsborough who then shop at Gulf Rim and buy gas, and that all in all, that's a great way to do things.
Amanda?
Yeah, I mean, I should probably preface this with the fact that I manage the River Farmers Market, just to be totally clear about
good
that.
Good idea, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I agree. I think that, the more that we can have the government working with, the private businesses and working together to try to come up with programs that bring people in as a group, so that when you come and you visit Hillsborough, you're visiting Hillsborough, and you may go to the farmers market and then go and get gas and stuff, but it's the whole package. It's not just one little part that you're coming there for. And I think the other part, too, is it's always hard to talk about the revenue increase because it has to come from somewhere, and it seems like it always affects the citizen. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, whether you cut the services or you raise the taxes, the people who get messed up by this are the average citizens trying to, go about their daily business.
Yeah, so. Jeff.
So just a clarifying comment on that. I'm just trying to model the national. We're having the national conversation about, from which portion of the citizenry and where do you raise revenue? And I think, just to clarify my comments from earlier, what I'm looking for is people who are fortunate enough, like myself, who could afford that. It's a similar argument that President Obama has been making the last couple of years. And I think that would allow it to be distributed more fairly. I mean, I consider, my taxes here, I always enjoy this, or not enjoy, it's interesting for me to hear this conversation. 12 years ago, I was younger, first married, I made less money than I do now, and still, after 12 years, my taxes, my local taxes here are much lower, still, than they were 12 years ago in Pennsylvania. So just, I bring that perspective to bear, but I think there are those of us who could, and I think we could even perhaps lower the taxes on people who are unable to pay them if we distributed them more according to people's ability to pay.
Mm-hmm. Bonnie.
I want to just say basically that cutting services to me is a distraction from the real problem of overspending on infrastructure and conflict between our government. So cutting services is kind of, I don't know if you all followed the discussion with the FAA saying, oh, we're going to cut the air traffic controllers, when that's only to get people to ask for more taxes, not because that's what they had to cut. So let's not kid ourselves, and that's the way to get people to beg for more taxes. Is anyone here concerned that we are creating an elitist economy and that our workforce is leaving in droves, and they are moving out of county despite our schools, despite all the things we tell ourselves about our high recycling rates and all these other wonderful things we do? Their evidence says our workforce is leaving, our minorities are leaving, and there certainly ain't coming here.
Let the record show that Lee Hevlin is concerned.
Oh, I'm a military guy. I come from Philadelphia. A dead end kid kind of thing, and the Navy was good to me. And I came here 20 years ago, and buying a house in Chapel Hill was impossible. Mm-hmm. I had to go across the tracks to Carrboro, which was almost impossible. But we did it, and things got better. But I pay more in taxes down doing my mortgage, which is sad. But I see that's happening all the time with military people. You might get someone coming here as a student and say, well, I'd love to live here. You might get incubation jobs here, and we've had a number of those where companies that came here and build up and they move it out someplace else. You have to find ways to keep the people, keep your family together. You got to bring people into Chapel Hill saying, God, I love this. My family loves this. It's a great place. And I got everything I want. I wouldn't leave here for anything. And people used to feel that way. When I got my orders here, a person I work with says, you're going where? He said, that's a little bit of heaven. I went to college there. Boy, my God. And I felt really honored to come down here.
but it was expensive, and I had to go shopping everywhere else. You couldn't get a computer in town. It just was terrible. Well, so people, once they get ahead, once they reach that affluence level where they have some money, they say, do I want it all to go into my cost of operating my family, or do I want to go move to Mebane or Alamance County or up towards Yanceyville? The line going up North 86 out of Hillsboro coming back and forth is huge, too.
Mm-hmm.
We have you look out. People are moving away at nighttime, and they're not staying here. We need to turn that around and make somehow better opportunities near us. And yes, it's going to make some people unhappy. They're going to say, oh, you got a factory here. Yeah, but who works in factories? The guys who don't make any money, the ones you want to stay in your town. If everyone was rich and has an affluent lifestyle and such, well, that ain't going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you look around our town, you'll see there's a number of areas that are aging. Glenn Lennox, when he talked about making that better and retrofitting that, I mean, they came out of the woodwork and mm-hmm. saying this is the wrong thing to do. So we need to have the government and our town saying, okay, I understand what you feel and what your feelings are, but you voted me to make some hard decisions. I'm here for you, and I'm going to make those decisions. I'd like to see more of that. And they're going to make some hard decisions, and they're going to have to hurt some feelings. But that might be necessary if you want to. If that's your dream, to have a true town of affluent people, middle and lower, a growth environment.
Greg Bell.
Well, I certainly think we all should be concerned about the drain in economic diversity that we have in this town. And just as an aside, I think along with the lower income workers leaving, we're also losing a lot of our artistic and creative folks. That Chapel Hill used to have the band house and the art house and the tie-dye house and lots of little theater companies here and there, and there's no space for that. All that cool stuff now is happening in Durham, it's happening in Saxmaha, it's happening in Hillsboro. And Chapel Hill, the gentrification of Chapel Hill is affecting the arts as well.
We've got to take a break. You're listening to Hour 9 of the 2013 WCHL Chapel Hill Carrboro Community Forum. This hour's topic, the bottom line in our community, part 1 of 2, wrapping up our 10-hour forum. We're going to take one more commercial break. We'll be right back with the conclusion of this panel. Stay with us. You're listening to the Community Forum.
You know, going to the dentist doesn't have to be unpleasant. Here's Dr. Larry Murray from The Happy Tooth.
A lot of people don't enjoy going to the dentist. A lot of people are very anxious. If we can make the experience a little bit more fun and relaxing, that'll make it a better experience for the patient and dispel some of their anxieties. So our philosophy is have a good time, bond with your patients, and make your patients feel they're part of the family and they'll look forward to coming back.
The Happy Tooth. Google Happy Tooth Chapel Hill to find out more.
Bring the kids, welcome your neighbors, and leave the work week behind. Hi, this is Michelle at the Carolina Inn, inviting you to join us for the first Fridays on the Front Porch of the season on April 26th, starting at 5 p.m. Fridays on the Front Porch provides the perfect atmosphere for kicking back, relaxing, and getting a jump start on the weekend. Enjoy great food, live music, and fun times under the shady oaks and magnolia trees. There's no cover charge and no reservations to attend. For more information, visit carolinainn.com.
You've come to expect exceptional repair and maintenance for your imported automobile at AutoLogic of Carrboro. I'm Marianne Jones, co-owner of AutoLogic, and by now you've probably heard that we offer tire services. It has been a longtime goal of ours to add alignment and tire services to our facility. Why? So we can offer everything you need to keep your car dependable and cost-effective. With renovations complete and the Hunter alignment equipment and software installed, our technicians are well underway offering tires, alignment, and balancing. Now you can get expert maintenance, top-notch repairs, and tires too. So come see us at AutoLogic.
Owners Marianne and Andy Jones have built their business on quality care, quality employees, and very few surprises. One company, one staff, one location, and one promise to always deliver honest, expert, no excuses customer service combined with technical excellence. And now offering tires, Michelin tires, Hunter Alignment, AutoLogic Excellence, intelligent service for your imported automobile. 933-6609. You're listening to the 2013 Chapel Hill Carrboro Orange County Forum on WCHL and streaming live on chapelboro.com. Now, back to the forum.
Welcome back to the 2013 WCHL Chapel Hill Carborough Community Forum. Aaron Keck here. I'm your moderator, joined by Lee Hevlin, Greg Bell, Bonnie Hauser, Jeff Danner, Amanda Shirley, community members here to talk about the bottom line, budgeting, taxes, revenue, spending cuts, spending increases, and obviously a whole lot more in our community, Chapel Hill, Carborough, Hillsborough, and Orange County as we move into budget season. That's the overarching topic, but I want to begin our final segment by jumping off of what we heard from Greg and Lee right before we went to commercial break, and I think Greg especially, about the extent to which we look to elected officials and town officials generally to make difficult decisions over and above what is occasionally a very, very strong, very loud voice from a vocal minority. Is that something that you feel is, or you think is a sort of an endemic problem in Orange County with town officials? Bonnie Hauser says yes.
Yeah, I feel that strongly, actually. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of different problems that I see. One is this heavy reliance on consultants. And it's astonishing to me that we have these protracted hearings and there's not agreement on the fact base. And so we're spending all this money on consultants. And so where's the staff? I want to know where's the staff and where's the data and where are the facts? Because we are debating facts. We're not debating opinion. And I think that's a really big issue.
Amanda Shirley nodding?
Just nodding.
Other thoughts on this issue that Greg raised at the end?
Well,
Lee Hevlin.
It's this way in every government. We work so hard to get the job, spend tons of money, get a lot of support, and then are afraid to make those hard choices. All these people that we, and I'm not just talking about Chapel Hill, I'm just about government in general, they're all talented people. They got great brains, great resources, whatnot. They shouldn't fear losing that job at the end of the time. If they make those hard decisions, I think they'll get reelected. But someone has to make those hard decisions.
Greg.
I just want to say I've got a very different view of our elected officials. I'm fairly certain last time Jim Ward ran for the town council, he raised and spent less than $900. Mm-hmm. I get the feeling from talking to most of them.
Less than $100.
I think so. He had a few signs left over, and if it, you know, that didn't do it, oh well. The reception I get talking to our most, if not all, of our elected officials is they couldn't care less whether or not they get reelected. They generally enjoy the job. They like to serve. And I feel like they are willing to make the hard decisions. I think, you know, some of the issues that we are dealing with now are as a result of people in the past perhaps not making the hard decision. It would have been the harder decision to fully fund the library 10 years ago, whenever this library was built. But they bowed to pressure to cut the size of the building, intentionally underbuilding it. And so in 2003, we have to vote to pass a bond to build the library to the size it was originally needed to be. Mm-hmm. So in general, I'm very supportive of our elected officials, even the ones I disagree with.
Bonnie.
I just think our processes are broken. And if you think, as we're getting bigger and more and richer and more complicated as a community, that our elected officials, with all due respect, and I really, they're all very bright and compassionate people, but these decisions are becoming much more technical and much more difficult. And a great example is I don't know if you all were following the county's emergency services work group. Mm-hmm. And we were very lucky because Commissioner McKee led that effort and he had been involved. He's a hands-on emergency services guy for a very long time. So he was able to get around really get his arms around the issues, and the rest of the board relied on him, on his good judgment. But many of the decisions our elected officials are being asked to make are very technical, and we don't have processes where they can get properly informed and properly briefed. And then the citizens, I mean, I sat in a meeting the other night where citizens were begging for tax increases, mm-hmm. But they, when they do that, they're asking for the rest of us to pay for their pet project. So mm-hmm. That's another problem.
So I want to, we've got about 10 to 12 minutes left, and I think this conversation is going to take about that long to start.
It is the question of taxes, going off of what you just said, Bonnie. To what extent, we've talked about spending cuts, we've talked about spending efficiencies, we've talked about other sources of revenue, we've talked about the idea of spending as an investment that generates revenue down the road. But the subject of tax increases, which is going to be discussed at least in the next couple of months, I'm wondering what you guys think about that. Obviously, we've had a couple of sales tax increases already in the county in the last 2 years. The property tax base is higher than average compared to other counties. Commercial tax base is lower. But to what extent would you, sitting here around the table, be willing to accept a tax increase, whether it's property taxes or any other tax that you're already currently paying, in order to continue to fund the services that we all agree that we want? Jeff?
Well, I would say if I look at the value for my tax dollar, we get great services. And part of the coming together as a community is you pool your money in that, and that you can't have your own personal security service. You got a police force and a fire department. Now, as we talked about earlier, I won't repeat my earlier comments. I think we need to find a way to apportion how that is costing people. But, in terms of, if you look at services that people want, and just to respond a little bit to Bonnie's comment, I mean, different people find different things to be vital, right? And they're interested in different services, right? So I think you have to accept, we come together as a community. I mean, community is not an a la carte proposition, right? And so, we come together collectively living in a town or a community or a county reduces all of our expenses. And I think we just need to be, willing to kick in and participate in that and understand that, I love my curbside recycling. I don't tend to ride the buses, but I'm happy to support that.
Mm-hmm. Lee?
I feel the same way. I've been looking at the opportunity maybe to move to another area. And my wife and I go drive, and I won't mention the names of the towns, but we always come home with the same conclusion. Let's add on to our house. Yeah, the taxes are a little higher. But what are we getting? I love it here. And our political guys, we got some pretty good ones here. When I make talk about government before, I was talking about government in general. I've watched the people here in our town do some good things, and Carrboro has remarkably stepped up to the on those things too. Mm-hmm. So we got a lot going for us here, and I think a lot of people don't mind paying higher taxes if that's what we need because we're getting something for it. We don't want to pay for some things we don't need. If we get value, it's worth it.
Mm-hmm. Are you adding on to your house?
Well, if I get some more money.
Depends on how much taxes go up.
Amanda. And then
Ronnie. Yeah, and I think Jeff made a good point about the a la carte thing. We really have to identify the core things, and I don't mind paying more taxes if I know that it's going to something that you can visibly show is going to benefit not just me. It doesn't have to benefit me directly. If you put roads, I may never use a road between Hillsborough and Chapel Hill. I mean, I'd like to say I would, but I might not. But I know that it has impact on future generations, and so I want my tax dollars to go to things that I can say, oh, look, this is good. This makes our community better. It makes us stronger. It helps everybody. Maybe it helps people that don't have good transportation get to the library a little bit easier. That's what I want to see it go to, and I'll pay more for that, even if it means I have to adjust my budget at home.
That reminds me of a point that was made a couple of hours ago at a different panel about the extent to which people in this community have a sense of ownership in the community and making it better, even if they don't personally benefit directly from it. Bonnie, you had your hand up.
Yeah, I have. I actually mind a little bit paying excessively for commodity services. And I think that to some extent, I think we're not quite honest with ourselves. Once in a while, you got to get on the scale and see how much you weigh. But maybe we can all afford the taxes, but there are consequences to our high tax rate. Now, our property values are high and our tax rate is high, which makes the whole cost expensive. And the consequences are, and I'm going to quote, I don't know if any of you saw Michael Jacobs' article, but he said, we are a socially inclusive but economically exclusionary community. And so that's what we become. And we may not mind, but other people are voting with their feet.
I'm going to keep a running, go back and listen to this entire forum again and keep a running count of the number of times that article got brought up in the last 9 hours. That gets to a point that I think it was Greg who made earlier about the extent to which it is very, very, and it's something that everyone has mentioned, the extent to which it's already very, very difficult for people to afford to live here. And something that we want is to make Orange County more inclusive, more affordable, more accessible to people who want to move here and enjoy this wonderful community that we don't want to leave. What's the effect of, if we're all willing to accept the tax increase, what's the effect of that on affordability, Lee?
Well, it doesn't hurt us because if we're enduring that, but it's going to displace the people who cannot afford to get here.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, like I said earlier, if you want to bring people to your community and have a true dynamic of all kinds of people with all kinds of talents, that will help you grow.
Mm-hmm.
Because the ones who are less talented will become talented, and they will be your future, and they will build their families and their families build theirs, like Chapel Hill had for many years. But mm-hmm. today, we're seeing people leave, and we need to stop that. I hate to use the word hemorrhage because it's not a hemorrhage, but you lose about a third of your population each year just through, by having a university here. Mm-hmm. People roll in, roll out. But we need to bring more people in. And when they get here, say, I want to come back. I want to stay here and find that's got to be affordable to them.
Amanda.
Yeah, well, I think it's not just taxes when you look at that. It's housing and everything else in it. And so it's very difficult to say, okay, well, how can we lower the housing in order for people, you know, to be here? Well, you can't. You have to build new affordable housing, and mm-hmm. where is that going to go? And so I think it's very complicated in how, you know, big can Chapel Hill go? Is it going to, you know, suck up Carrboro and move on, mm-hmm. you know, out into the other parts, you know?
Greg.
I think another part of that is job creation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for years we've been utterly dependent on the university for most of our jobs in Chapel Hill, be it brick mason or professor. And they've changed their model of how they do a lot of things. And additionally, new jobs have come into the area. But increasingly, people are commuting from Chapel Hill to jobs in other places. And I hope that some of these efforts, like the EFSIS Fordham Small Area Plan, things like that, will create more jobs in Chapel Hill and in Orange County.
So we've only got about 4 minutes left, and I think that would be enough time for everyone to sort of summarize their final thoughts. We've got, we're wrapping up this panel, and in about 6 minutes, we'll move the town officials and elected officials who've been listening to this panel in another room into follow up on it. But what is the final word that you want to leave for them as they move in and continue this conversation? Jeff Danner, you're nodding, so we'll start with you.
Well, I would say, you know, as our town officials are grappling with what they need to do this year, I want them to also keep their focus on the horizon and think about what this community is going to be like 10, 20, 30 years from now, because I get to say to Lee, I came here 12 years ago. We love it. We're never leaving.
Bonnie.
Yeah, I just want to build on that. I think there's an issue of planning, and I'd love to see us not worry about this year's budget, but do some more planning ahead, because we are changing. The world is changing. We're aging out. We have to worry, what are the services that we need, not for yesterday's community, but for tomorrow's community? Libraries are changing. What about why can't we have library hotspots all over this community, mm-hmm. rather than all these brick and mortar buildings? But how do we start planning and designing a community for the future? And I think that's the kind of investment that I could get excited about spending some taxes on.
Greg.
Well, I don't envy our elected officials or our municipal managers and county managers a bit. They have a very tough job.
So you won't be running for town council this year?
I don't think so.
Is there one thing, as budget talks begin, is there one thing that you want to see on the other side of the budget discussion?
Well, like Bonnie said, I hope that they do look long term, mm-hmm. and look at the long term implications to whatever policies they pursue, and I hope that they're brave and make the tough choices, and I hope that they continue to represent the interests of all other citizens, just not just those of us that have access to a microphone or a blog.
Amanda?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that, you know, everyone needs to be heard. And I guess the bottom line thing is long-term planning and cooperation, and how we can look at things and say, this is what we say we want. We want healthy lives. We want access to this and that and whatever. How can we make that happen on a practical level? So taking all of our high ideals and turning them into something really usable in our community.
And finally, Lee Heblin.
Well, I think that if all the town council members do like we do, we drive out of town and go someplace else to eat or do something, shop, and we have relatives working someplace else, kind of look at what's causing that and saying, how can we turn that around? How can we find, like you mentioned before, there was used to have events. Carrboro still has events. Every Thursday, it's a hotbed.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a hard time parking there. So we need to do those things that makes it build the family, and all the rest will come together.
Thank you guys so much for this. This concludes Hour 9 of the 2013 WCHL Community Forum. Greg Bell, Lee Hevlin, Amanda Shirley, Jeff Danner, Bonnie Hauser. Great panel. Thank you guys so much. This hour, as well as the entire day's broadcast, can be found on our website, chapelboro.com. At the end of today's events, in the next hour, we will continue the Bottom Line panel. We'll have responses from some of the leaders of Chapel Hill and Carrboro and Orange County, including both elected officials and town and county managers. You don't want to miss it. Stay tuned for that final hour. This is Aaron Keck, and thanks for listening.